This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Bruchim Abayim, welcome everyone. Tonight we have an amazing shir.
Recording in progress.
There you go. Tonight's shir, all the shirim on Sefer Breishis are sponsored by Dr. Zakheim Umeshpachta, Le'iloi Nishmas, Reb Shloima Eliezer ben Rav Yaakov Zakheim, and Le'iloi Nishmas, Dr. Zakheim's mother, Rivka Bas Tovia, the Neshama Shem, and Aliyah B. Melitza Yisharm for their whole family. For good health, simchas, nachas, b'soras, toivais, ad bias, goyel, tzedek. Tonight's shir is sponsored by Dr. and Mrs. Earl Pollack of Norfolk, Virginia, in honor of our dear friend Gedalia Schwartz's birthday and bar mitzvah parsha. And Gedalia, you didn't know this, but tonight's shir comes a lot from a sefer that you once got me, Chavatzel Hasharon ala Toira. And we want to thank Reb Gedalia for manning the WhatsApp groups for many years. There are many, many, many groups. People are on one group. They think they're only, 240 people. There are many, many, many of them. So if anybody wants to join the groups and get bombarded every day with shiurim, you could be listening all day. You have to listen to two at the same time, one in the right ear, one in the left ear. We thank Reb Gedalia. People tell me they get them at all 24 hours a day. So we thank him for being mekayim the mitzvah of Harbatzas Torah Yom HaValayla. Also, tonight's shir is sponsored Le'iloi Nishmas. It's sponsored anonymously. Le'iloi Nishmas. Rasha Bas Yisrael Tzvi and Rafu Shalema and the Zivuk Hagun for Elimelech Shalema Ben Chaya. The Yom HaShem should send Rafu Shalema and Zivugoy Haguna Bekarov Mamish. And I have an amazing opportunity, if anybody wants to be mishtatef in the mitzvah of Harbatzas Torah, we're working on a sefer for Art Scroll on Purim, and we have about a couple weeks to get it out. So if anybody wants to help it see the light of day, please let us know. Okay, we have an amazing subject tonight. We touched upon it in previous shurim, and we have to take it to the next level. We're going to start in Parshas Vayeshev, and this is in the immediate aftermath of the Mechiras Yosef. And we know that in between the sale of Yosef and Yosef going down to Mitzrayim, the Torah interjects with the episode of Yehuda having a descent, and he meets a Isha Adulami, and basically he gets married to Bashua, and he has two kids, Er and Oinon, and they both act improperly, and they die. Now Yehuda thinks that it's Tamar's fault. He doesn't know it's their fault. So when Tamar wants to marry Shelah, the third kid, Yehuda's like, he's too young to get married. So Tamar realizes that her only chance is to be Meyabim Yehuda. But Yehuda's not interested. She's going to kill him, he thinks. And Yehuda stays away from her. So she masquerades as a Zoyna, and Yehuda was, Chazal say a Malach came, and he pushed him into it, and Yehuda lived with her, and she conceived, and from there came Paratz and Zarach, and from there came the Malchus Beis David. And Rashi wants to know, why does the Torah juxtapose the episode of Yehuda's descent to the Parsha of Yosef? To teach, says Rashi, Lelamid, Shahiridu Echav Migdulasai, the brothers demoted him. Now, demoted him from what? He was the vice president and CFO of Jacob's Sons Incorporation, and they demoted him. Now he's the assistant vice president. Exactly what was his position, and what did they demote him from? When they saw Tzaras Avim, Amru, they said, Ato Amartel Machroi, you told us to sell him, so we didn't kill him, we sold him. You should have told us to bring him back to dad. So a few questions on the table. Number one, what was his position that they demoted him from? Question number two. And what I would like to bring out, one of the major themes I'd like to bring out, that if the Torah says Yehuda was demoted, then you could be sure it was what we call Yerida L'Tzarech Aliyah. He was demoted for an important purpose. In other words, it was L'Tayvasai. Everything the Yibam Shalom does is L'Tayvasai. So if he was demoted, it was a promo. So what was the promotion that he was demoted to? Why did the brothers sell Yosef? The most common approach that we've gone with all the years is the Shulchan HaKadosh. Namely, there are different institutions in Klal Yisrael. There's the institution of Kahuna. There's the institution of Torah, Kesar Torah. So Kesar Kahuna belongs to Levi. Kesar Torah, maybe also Levi, maybe Yisachar. And there's Kesar Malchus. Who does Malchus belong to? Malchus is the Malchus Beis David. And therefore, Malchus belongs to Yehuda. Lo Yasur Shev Mi'Yehuda. Even though Yaakov Avinu didn't say that yet, he meant that which you already had, Lo Yasur. But Malchus belongs to Yehuda. And the Shulchan HaKadosh explains why does God need a human king in this world? What do we need a king for? So the Shulchan HaKadosh explains that the sovereignty of God is reflected and manifest through the sovereignty of the Malchus Beis David. God's throne has four legs. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. The thing is that a throne that has three legs is going to topple over. What's the fourth leg of God's throne? David HaMelech. David is the regel revi'i. He holds it all up. He's ma'amid it. That's how when Yehuda is born, what does it say? Vata'amoid miledes. He brought out midah to the Kisei HaKavod. That's why the name Yehuda is Yudke Vavke plus Dalid for the fourth regel of God's throne. That is why we spoke this out last Thursday night. That is why the brothers were able to join God in the excommunication against Yosef, not to reveal what happened to Yosef. Why? Because since the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, anyone who argues on the Malchus Beis David is like arguing on the Shechina, kala chilek on Malchus Beis David, kilu chilek ala Shechina. So they felt the Shechina was on their team. They felt that when Yosef was having dreams of grandeur, they said, Hamoloich timloich aleinu mashal tim shabanu, you think you're going to be the king? Kingship belongs to Yehuda. So they paskin that Yosef is what is called Moirid b'malchus. And he's chayv misa. And that's why they had mercy on him to sell him. In fact, the Shulchan HaKadosh says in this week's parsha, when Yosef says, Ani Yosef, ha'oid avichai, what was the brother's reaction? They took out their sword and they're about to kill him. Can you imagine? After the whole 22 years and all the regret that they had, Aval, Ashemim, Anachnu, right? They said Vidoy, they regretted, and then Yosef, I'm Yosef, really? Let's knock him off. And Amalek had to come and disperse them. After all that, they want to kill him? Says the Shulchan, yeah. Because they weren't 100% sure he wanted to be the king, but now that they see he's the king, he's definitely Moirid b'Malchus. They have to kill him. So the kasha is that if the brothers paskin he's Moirid b'Malchus, then what exactly, they had a taina on Yehuda. Yehuda, why'd you tell us to sell him? You should have told us to bring him back to dad. What do you mean? They paskin he's a Moirid b'Malchus. In fact, when they met him and he said, I'm Yosef, they tried to kill him. So why are they having complaints against Yehuda? They convened the court. All the great, the Mayetzes, Gedoyle HaTorah of Mesopotamia, who all happened to be brothers, they convened together at the convention, and the main topic was, they brought in all the experts, Yosef is a Moirid b'Malchus, and they paskin he should die. And so why do they have tainus on Yehuda? Oh, Yehuda, I don't understand, you should have told us to bring him back. Yehuda paskin he's a Moirid b'Malchus. And so did they. So why do they have tainus on Yehuda? Oh, because they see their father suffering. I have a question. Let's say two Edim testify that a guy was warned and he desecrated Shabbos and the Bezdin's about to kill him and the father is in great distress. Could Bezdin back out of it because of the father's distress? Of course not. So what's the taina on Yehuda? Oh, Yehuda, you should have told us to bring Yosef back. Look at the distress dad is in. What difference does it make what kind of distress dad is in? They paskin the halacha that Yosef is Moirid b'Malchus. By the way, now we understand what Yehuda was demoted from. Rashi says Yehuda was demoted. Hayridu mi gedulasai. What position did he occupy that he was demoted from? Melech. Why would they demote him? Why did they demote? Can they demote him? He was a melech, and then is that what they demoted him from? It seems that way. So this is a question that seems to be a very strong question. It's brought in the Sefer Chavetz Chaim as well. And I want to support this notion that Yehuda was a melech from the Ramban, an amazing Ramban. So Yehuda is sitting there in the court, and they bring in this lady. Okay, Yehuda's like, you know, he bangs on the table. Next! This lady walks in. What did she do? She was Mezaneh. Who is she? She is the daughter of shame. Daughter of shame? Hey, that's my daughter-in-law, Yehuda. My daughter-in-law. What did she do? She was Mezaneh. Now, it didn't dawn on Yehuda that she was Mezaneh with him. So Yehuda paskins that she's chayiv, which Misa?
Sreifa.
Says Rashi, why is she chayiv Sreifa? Because she's the daughter of a Kohen. Ubas Kohen, ki seichel liznois, esavia, hi mechaleles, ba esh tisarif. The daughter of a Kohen Mezaneh gets burning. Says Ramban, what? No, she doesn't. That's if she's married. If she's an Arusa or a Nesua and she's Mezaneh, she gets burning. But not if she's a single woman. And Tamar was a single woman. So a single woman that commits adultery doesn't get punished. Yeah, she's Zakuk Tiyibum. And Rav Hamnuna, and they that Pe'alef Amen Aleph on the top, he holds that a woman who's Zakuk Liyibum, who commits adultery, is Chayiv Misa. Yeah, but we don't even paskin like him. Secondly, they're B'nai Noyach. So Ramban says, whoa, maybe by B'nai Noyach, they practice Yibum. And we know by Goyim, anything they practice is Chayiv Misa. So even though we don't pass in like Rav Hamnuna, Goyim would pass in like Rav Hamnuna. Yeah, but we know that Yehuda was the first person to ever do Yibum in the first place. Yehuda invented Yibum. So why would she get Sreifa? Says Ramban, you know why Yehuda, you know what Tamar did wrong? Listen to this. Yehuda, says the Ramban, five lines from the end, Yehuda was a kotzin. He was a shoiter. He was a moishel. He was a melech. And his daughter-in-law being Mezaneh is disgraceful to him. So her act of znus is moired b'malchus. So Yehuda was killing her as a melech. Now, apparently Yehuda did not accept the demotion. Because even though the brothers demoted him, here he's utilizing his koyach as melech to kill his daughter-in-law. So again, we see that Yehuda was a melech, and the fact that they demoted him, he didn't care. I'm the melech, there's nothing you could do. So the question is, so what taina do the brothers have on Yehuda? He is a melech. If someone rebels against him, they're chayiv misa. He has to administer a death penalty. So what's the brother's taina on Yehuda? So now let's learn a little bit of an interesting halacha.
You said she wasn't married.
Yeah, but
she
was married to his son. Once a daughter-in-law, always a daughter-in-law. Yeah.
So she was married.
She was married. That was until her husband went to the next world. Whereupon he said, have a nice day. I will go to the world of truth and you will remain here in this world. She's not married. Now she's not married.
So she's like a
Besula? She's like a single woman. That's Mezaneh. That if, had Yehuda not been a king, she would not have been given the death penalty. But because Yehuda was a king and it was embarrassing to him, therefore he gave her the death penalty. What's the halacha, again, if Beis Din sees a guy committing a capital offense and they want to have rachmanis on him? Can Beis Din say, you know what, I'm not going to administer a death penalty? Is the capital punishment of the courts discretionary? Of course not. The Beis Din is mechuyev to administer capital punishment.
Pardon?
No. No. No.
Why?
Why isn't there? No. I mean, can like the president, you know? No, there's no pardons. I don't think so. So the Beis Din is mechuyev to administer, it's because not up to them. They're not giving their punishment. It's the punishment of the Torah. What's the halacha if someone rebels against the king, and the king says, you know what? Machalach, machalach, machalach. L'chayra, we know, melech shemachal al kevoidoi ein kevoidoi, a melech can't be meicha. And yet, a very interesting halacha. If you remember Masechta Erechin, if somebody says, oh, you see that guy who was Mechal on Shabbos, who was being taken out for Skila? Erech Rosh HaZeh Olai. Right? We know there's a concept of erechin, where a person could accept upon themselves to pay someone's value. So someone says, I accept the value of this person who's being taken out to be killed. So the halacha is that person has no value. He's taken out to be killed. He has no value. But what if this person is chayiv? He's not taken out to be killed, but Bezdin paskind that he's chayiv misa. He also doesn't have value because he's going to be killed. What if this person rebelled against the king and the king said, you know what? He's chayiv misa. And someone says, his erech upon me, you have to pay his value. The Rambam writes in Perash HaMishnayis in number 6, because sometimes the king will change his mind. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, from here we see that the chayiv misa of Moired B'malchus is up to the discretion of the king. Which is a very big chiddush. That the king could say, you know what, I'm not going to kill him. Because melech shemacha al kvoidoi, in kvoidoi macha, melech cannot overlook. Look at number 11, the Minchas Chinuch says, he quotes this Rambam. In fact, the Rambam writes explicitly in number 8. Let's turn to number 8 for a second.
Can another order somebody to be killed even without Beis Din?
Yes. Yeah. So that's another important, yeah. Let's look at number 8. Let's start with number 8, okay? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim, Kol Hamoed B'Malach is anyone who rebels against the king, the Melech has permission to kill them. For example, he says, you, go to that room. I don't want to go to that room. I want to stay in this room. I say, I'm the king. I say, go to that room. He doesn't go to the room, the king could kill him. Not only that, or let's say the king says, don't ever leave your house. You leave your house, you're Chayav Misa. He leaves his house, he's Chayav Misa. And if he wants to kill him, he could kill him. Like the Pasuk says, Kol Ish Asher Yamras Picha, anyone who embarrasses the king, shames the king could kill him. Where do we learn it from? Shimi ben Gera. Right? David HaMelech said to Shlomo, Shimi cursed me, kill him. Where does it say that someone's Chayav Misa for cursing the king? The answer is Moired B'Malchus. The king could kill somebody. But the language of the Rambam is, Kol HaMoired B'Malach Yeish L'Mach Rishus. The king has discretion to kill him. He's not obligated to kill him. He has discretion to kill him. Says the Minchas Chinuch, in number 11, second paragraph, V'din zeh, de'ein l'melech, one second. Oh, the first paragraph, the end of the first paragraph, U'miloshon zeh, da'arashus b'yodei mashma, de'ein chiyu b'davar. It's mashma, you're not obligated. Even though the melech is moichal and is kavod, even though a king that forgoes his honor, einoi machal, that's true. The king, if somebody insults the king cannot be moichal. But he doesn't have to kill the guy. He can say, I'm not moichal you. I don't forgive you. You're not machal. You're going to get some penalty. But the king is not required to administer the death penalty. So therefore it's suggested by Chavetzel's Hasharon that's what the taina against Yehuda was. In other words, why did the brother say Yosef deserves Misa? Because he's usurping the Malchus, and he's a Moir B'Malchus. Yeah. Can Yehuda be Moichel? No. But does Yehuda have to administer a death penalty? He also doesn't have to. So he's allowed to. But when they saw how much terrible tsar their father was in, the brother said, Yehuda, this was not the right time to exercise your full rights as king to kill Yosef. You should have not only had mercy on him and told us to some, you should have brought him back to dad. In other words, their taina on Yehuda was, since the din of Moir B'Malchus is up to the discretion of the king, you should have used discretion here and allowed him to survive. And now we understand why the brothers demoted Yehuda. Because they felt Yehuda was using his rights as melech inappropriately. So they said, okay, you're not a melech anymore. That seems to be how the Shlach HaKadosh would learn Mechiras Yosef. In other words, the brothers paskin Yosef's Moir B'Malchus, and they never retracted. And that's why they threw him into the pit. What's their taina on Yehuda? You don't have to be, you're not allowed to be a Moichel Moir B'Malchus, but you don't have to administer death. Now, that may have been the right thing under normal circumstances, but Yaakov was basically dead. You know, Yaakov lost any communication with God. He was mourning for years and years. So the brothers' taina on Yehuda was, you should have been more compassionate in exercising your right as melech. Now watch how this plays out.
Can family members form a bezdin?
No.
So how were the brothers able to be mechayev Yisur to Yosef? They were only gay, but they were all brothers.
But what if people are negev with other paskin right? Ask Reb Zalman Sorotskin. They paskin, he says they paskin correctly. Yosef was a Mahir B'malchus. He discusses this issue, but there was still a taina on them that maybe they were noigei abadavar. So if they're noigei abadavar, even if they got it right, they couldn't do it in the first place. So, okay, that's beyond what we're discussing tonight. But what I would like to discuss, the Rambam that says that a king could kill somebody if he rebels, look back at number 8, the Rambam says, Ein lemelech rishus laharoig ela besayif. A king who kills a rebel against him could only use the sword. So that's a big problem. Because according to the Ramban, how is Yehuda judging Tamar? As a melech. And what was the death penalty he was imposing on Tamar? Sreifa. How as a melech could you impose sreifa? You could only impose the sword, sayif. So that's a big question. And that's the question of the Mincha. That's the question the Minchas Chinuch asks, not on Yehuda, but rather on Yehoshua. There's a man by the name of Achan. Achan ate the spoils. The Rambam says, what did Yehoshua do to Achan? He killed him. What was the process? Moirid b'malchus. What punishment did Achan get? He got skila. But wait a second, as a Moir B'malchus, you can only get Saif. That's the kasha of the Minchas Chinuch. That the Rambam says only a king can only administer death by the sword, and Yoshua, who's killing Achan, is administering skila, not death by the sword. Says the Minchas Chinuch, there are two ways a king could kill someone. A king could kill someone who rebels against him. And if someone rebels against the king has to give the sword. That's the only thing the king can give. But there's another extra legal right the king has. If the king sees that there's an area of Torah observance which is lax, the king could just kill someone. Let's say the king sees people going to the store and they're not really making brachas properly. They're going into Season Express, and then they drink it. And then they have a donut, and then they eat it. The king said, what is that? That's not a bracha. The Gemara says, L'yizrak bracha mipiv. So the king comes, he chops off a few heads, and the next time a kid comes into Season Express, Baruch, Atah, and the king says, okay, good, right? So that's another right the king has. So the king has two rights. Says Minchas Chinuch, when the king kills someone to stick up for his own honor, he has to use the sword. When the king upholds the law so there's not a weakness in society, the king could use any death penalty he wants. When Yehoshua killed Achan, he wasn't killing... Achan wasn't rebelling against Yehoshua. Achan was sort of not following the halacha, and Yeshua was standing up for the halacha, and therefore Yeshua was allowed to give a different death penalty. So now, let's take that back to Yehuda. The Ramban says, why was Yehuda killing Tamar? She was rebelling against him. She's a Marid B'malchus. So then how could he burn her? He should have to give her the sword. Meaning the answer of the Minchas Chinuch only works for Achan, because Achan was not upholding the halacha, so he needed to strengthen the halacha. But how would that apply to Tamar? So interesting Chassam Sofer, and then we're going to open this thing wide up. Chassam Sofer says, Achan actually violated two things. Number one, he's rebelling against Yehoshua. Yehoshua said, don't take from the Cherem. He took from the Cherem. And second of all, he's also violating a Cherem. A Cherem alone is a Chi of Misa. Says Chassam Sofer, yes, when someone rebels against the king, you can only administer the sword. But if there's another infraction of the person, you could add on to the sword and make the sword, the punishment, a little bit more severe. So the Chavetz Chaim says you could say the same thing with Yehuda. Tamar did two things wrong. Number one, she's embarrassing Yehuda, so therefore he could give her the sword. But what about the fact she's also a Bas Kohen? So that added factor allows Yehuda to make it a little bit of a more severe Misa. And now, this is the Mamash, the highlight of the night. Watch this. Why didn't Yehuda want to marry Tamar? So Pashup Shad is, she's lethal. She lives with Er, he drops dead. He lives with Oinon, he drops dead. He's like, keep her away from me. That's not the real reason. Yehuda can't be Miyabim Tamar! He's a king! Ein Melech Miyabim! King can't do Yibam, it's halacha. King's not to do Yibam. So Mishnah and Yivamas. We had it. King can't do Yibam. So Tamar says, yeah, Shver, I got something to tell you, Shver. She sends the Shver his signet ring and his staff. Could you walk around? Let's say I have a question. You know, you're davening by a groyser Rebbe. You know that cane, that wooden cane with the silver tip? You know, you have a little bit of tendonitis. You need to get it to the back of the basic necessities to get a chumash. So you take the Rebbe's cane, you walk, you know, you take it to the back, and then you come back. Could you pull that off? They'll kill you. You know, you won't make it. You won't make it not to the second row. You know? In mishtam shim b'sharvitoi shel melech. It's halacha. You can't use the scepter of the king. So Tamar says, Shver, whose cane is this? How did a melech give a mere hedyoid a cane? Says a chsam sofer. Must be Shver. You ain't a king anymore because the brothers demoted you. If you ain't a king, I'm ready for Yibam right now. That was the message of Tamar. She knew Yehuda didn't want to do Yibam because Yehuda was, I'm still a melech. I'm not accepting the brothers' demotion. That's why I'm not being Miyabim Tamar. So Tamar says, really? Take a look at number 11. There's a big shaila in the Gemara when Avshalom ran away from David in those 6 months. Would David bring the carbon of a melech or would he bring the carbon of a hedyot? And it seems like he would bring the carbon of a hedyot during those 6 months because since he didn't have authority, he lost his status of melech. Likewise, what Tamar was saying to Yehuda is, oh, you think you're a big king, you're a big melech, you don't want to do yibam. So how do you give me the stick? This is your stick. You gave it to me. You admit then you're not a melech. So let's do yibam right now. I already booked the hall. That's what the message of Tamar was. So the Ramban says that it was considered a hanhaga toiva, a good practice to do it even with other permissible relatives. And that's why Yehuda that's what the Ramban says, that for Yehuda it was the mitzvah of Yibam, even though it wasn't a direct brother. Now watch this. Comes a Chavetz Chaim Sharon, but I think it's pretty clear after we learned this. She wasn't just telling Yehuda, hey Shver, let's do Yibam. You know what she was telling him? The only reason you're killing me, why are you sitting there on the court case saying that I should die? What did I do wrong? I'm a Bas Kohen, but I'm not married. So what did I do wrong, Yehuda? Ooh, you're a king? Really? Who does this stick belong to? If you gave me the stick, then you admit you're not a king. If you're not a king, not only can we do Yibam, but I'm off the hook. You can't kill me in the first place. That was the chap of Tamar. Tamar was telling Yehuda, clearly you were demoted, and you would know it. Because if you weren't demoted, you never would have given me the stick. If you're giving me the stick, you're giving me the Shavit Shalmelech, that means you hold you're not a king. So not only could we do Yibam, I'm off the hook. That was the message of Tamar.
Forgetting it is not enough.
What? You mean Yehuda just said, I forgot, I made a mistake?
No, it wasn't a giving, it wasn't an asan, it was a shifcha.
I mean, basically, Yehuda asked her, how much do you cost? So she said, I cost some sheep. Yehuda said, I don't carry sheep with me. So she said, give me some other good stuff. So he gave him the thing. I guess Yehuda, for whatever it is, she got off the hook. What exactly Yehuda was moida to, I don't know. That's a Chassam Sofer. Amazing Chassam Sofer. Now, let's come to the first Balatur. You say, Rabbi, you gave a very nice share on Parshas Vayishev. What in the world does it have to do with Vayigash? I don't know, but I'm allowed to get, I love Mechiras Yosef, you know, I still don't know what's going on over there. But let's come to Parshas Vayigash. opening Bala Turim, Parash Vayigash. Vayigash Elohav Yehuda. Says the Bala Turim, the Soifei Teva is Vayigash Elohav Yehuda, Shin Vav He. Shaveh. We're equal, Yehuda. We're equal, Yosef. Yosef, you think you're a king? Says Yehuda, I'm also a king. By the way, last year's share of Ayigash was the encounter of the lion and the ox, right? The lion and the ox. And even though most people think, yeah, the lion and the ox, they go head to head, the lion will eat the ox. No. You could check it out. It's available. Footage is available, right? Shar versus Ari. Look, check it out. The Shar is very powerful. But now, one thing. Yehuda tells Yosef, you're a melech. I'm also a melech. And on this, the Medrash darshins, kihine hamlachim nayadu. The kings encounter. The two kings. So some of the Rishonim ask, Rabbeinu Ephraim asks, what do you mean, the two kings? But Yehuda was demoted. Rabbeinu Ephraim asks, they're not two kings. Yosef's a king, but Yehuda was demoted. Vayered Yehuda. Okay, I forgot to tell you my thing. So it comes out, even though Yehuda was demoted, it was a very big promotion for him. Because had he remained the king, he would have killed Tamar. If he would have killed Tamar, there wouldn't have been Peretz and Zarach, and there wouldn't have been the Malchus Beis David. So the biggest aliyah ever for the Malchus Beis David is Vayered Yehuda, is that he was demoted. Through the demotion came the greatest aliyah. So in life, it's always important to know, every demotion is a promo. It's a promo in disguise. You should trigger. Vayered, Yehuda, Yehuda was a tzad, Vayered, that means Ribbono Shel, it's a Yerido Letzorech Aliyah. And we see it was, we see from the Chassam Sofer. Because he was demoted, therefore, Tamar said, hey, Shver, first of all, we're doing an Yibam. Because you're demoted, otherwise, first of all, they couldn't do Yibam. Yeah? If Yehuda was a king, then it would have been Yibam B'Isser. So he needed to be demoted to do Yibam, and he needed to be demoted not to kill Tamar. Now, the Rabbeinu Ephraim asks, but Yehuda's not a king, how could he say Shaveh? So he says, no, Yehuda was never really demoted. It says Vayered because his children died. But Rashi says he was demoted from his Gedula. So I want to show you three interesting Marmakaimais that discuss why was Yehuda Zoicha Tamachos? What did Yehuda do to be Zoicha Tamachos? I'm pretty sure I heard of the name of the Panovich Rav, and I could not find it anywhere. That what's a melech? Someone who takes responsibility. And since Yehuda, when Yaakov said, I'm not letting Binyamin go down, so Yehuda said, Anoichi Ervenu, I take responsibility. So that's when he was Zoicha Tamachos. But the Medrash doesn't say that. All the Midrashim offer different interpretations. Let's start with the Tosefta. Look at number 13. The Tosefta says, why was Yehuda Zoicha Tamachos? Because he admitted in the story of Tamar, he said, you're right. Shnirer, right? How do you say daughter-in-law in Yiddish? Shnirer, you're right. It was me. I was the one who lived with you. Good point. Can you imagine being in that courtroom? That would have been tzadka mimeni. So think about it. So it comes out beautiful. Yehuda starts off as a melech. And that's why they sold Yosef. The brothers argue on him, hey, Yehuda, you improperly exercise your right as melech. They demoted him. Luckily, they demoted him just in time so that now he could be miyabim Tamar and not kill Tamar. But when Tamar said, it was me, and Yehuda says, yeah, it was, I did it, right then he was promoted again. And now when he deals with Yosef, he's shaveh. So he was only demoted in that little window to be able to be miyabim Tamar and not kill her. So it worked out very convenient. You know, Yehuda's Malchus was a very convenient Malchus. So but then the Medrash says, no, it can't be because he admitted. You're telling me he did a great sin, and then he admitted to it? That's a recipe for Malchus? I mean, we'll get all kinds of criminals becoming Malachim. They'll commit major crimes, and then they'll come and admit it. So then the Medrash says, no, it's not because of that. It's because, Reb Yehuda says, because... It's because he saved Yosef from the pit. So the Medrash says, that should not allow him to become the Melech. Maybe it's an atonement for selling Yosef. And ultimately, the Gemara, the Tosafta says that Yehuda is zoicha tamachos mipnei ha'anava because of his humility when he said, "I'll take the place of Binyamin," which still fits in well because vayiga she'lov Yehuda. Maybe Yehuda's saying, "Ah, now that I just said I'll take the place of Binyamin, now I stepped up to the plate. Now I'm the Melech, and now we're Shaveh." Then there's the Rabbeinu Bechaye. Rabbeinu Bechaye says, you know when Yehuda became the king? When he sentenced Tamar to death. Because anyone who executes Mishpat is Zoichet to Malchus. Listen, right, that's what you were looking at, number 14. V'loy Zochi Dol Malchus Ela Al Yedei HaMishpat. Shekain don Tamar kalosei l'sreifa. When he told Tamar, "You're chayiv misa," that's when he became a king. Oh, see, there they're just kanoim. They went ahead and they killed. Here it's like that's in judicial setting, I guess, you know. So it comes out, Yehuda tells Tamar, "I'm executing mishpat." So it's hard to understand because according to Ramban, she was only Chayiv Misa because she was married by Malchus, but he wasn't a Melech yet. And then the Medrash Hachif that says that Yehuda was Zoichet to Malchus not until Nachshon ben Aminadav jumped into the Yam. But the bottom line is, we could say regarding the question of how could Chazal say Shaveh that Yehuda was a Melech and Yosef was a Melech, but Yehuda was demoted? But since he was demoted, it's good. Since he was demoted, he got a promotion either because he was Moedet, what happened with Tamar, or he adjudicated Mishpat against Tamar, or because of his humility. Or by the way, look at number 19. In three places, Yehuda spoke up before the brothers and they made him a melech. One is when he told the brothers, "Don't kill Yosef." One is when they came down to Egypt. And one, "Vayigash Elav Yehuda." So it comes out very beautiful. In the words, "Vayigash Elav Yehuda," he became a melech. And therefore, at that very moment, he is Shaveh too. He is equal to Yosef. One last thing. Could you demote a king? Like, who's in charge of the king to demote? Could the brothers demote Yosef? What's the concept that a king could just take someone's life? How does he do that? What authority does he have? The Maritz Chios wrote a sefer on Dinei Malchus called Tiras Nevi'im. And his understanding of the melech is it's a consensual agreement between the king and the people for the welfare of society, in that the people place their lives under the control of the king for the betterment of society, which means that if the people feel that for the betterment of society this king is not worthy, it seems like there is some type of element of unseating. Here's the bottom line. Parshas Vayigash. So Yehuda is promoted again. And Yaakovinu is coming to Mitzrayim. And Yaakovinu sends Yehuda before Yosef, Lahoyrois Lefan of Goshna. What does Rashi famously say? What's Yehuda doing there? He's setting up Makom Yeshiva. Now, Yehuda is a mighty warrior, he's a lion. Why would Yaakov send him to set up a yeshiva? Send Levi. Levi's the Rosh Yeshiva. Yoru Meshvatach Yaakov. Send Yisachar. He's the Talmud Chacham. Yehuda's the mighty warrior. Why would you send Yehuda to set up the yeshiva? Says Reb Leib Bax that to be a Rosh Yeshiva, you need to know Torah. That belongs to Levi. That belongs to Yisachar. But to establish a yeshiva, for that you need Malchus. And that's why we needed Yehuda. So I saw the Munkacher asks, so let Yosef do it. Yosef's the Melech. So the Munkacher said, not really. Yosef is second in command. To set up a yeshiva, you need to be the Melech. So bottom line is, from Parshas Vayeshev to Parshas Vayigash, we see the trajectory upward, downward of Yehuda's Malchus. They sell Yosef. They hold he is marid b'machas. Hamolech timlech aleinu. But then they feel Yehuda's exercising too much right, so they demote him. Apparently Yehuda did not feel he was exercising too much right. Therefore Yehuda donned Tamar as marid b'malchus. Tamar says back, Eishver, what do you give me the stick for? So first let's do Yibam, and you can't execute me. Apparently Yehuda got a promotion, either when he was Moida, or when he adjudicated the case, or through his humility. And ultimately he stands before Yosef, he says, Vayigash elav Yehuda, shaveh. We're on equal playing field. Until in Parshas Vayigash, Yehuda sets up the yeshiva, and Yaakov Avinu next week tells Yehuda, you got it back, and now it's yours for good. Lo yasur shevet miYehuda.
Meanwhile, Binyamin was the first melech.
Binyamin was the first melech. So, two things. Number one, the Medrash that says Yehuda was zoicha tamachas because of his anivus. The Medrash says that's why Shaul was zoicha. And the Shlach Hadar says, Shaul only borrowed it. It was borrowed, Shaul. He borrowed it, waiting until the time for David HaMelech. And basically the Shlach Hadar says, that's what Yosef was doing. The role of Yosef is to establish what is called the Yisoid, the foundation. And once the foundation is there, Yehuda takes over. As soon as we got out of Egypt, Hoysa Yehuda Lekachai. Same thing with Shaul. Shaul galvanizes the people, and once he does so, David HaMelech becomes the Melech. Thank you everyone for coming. Baruch HaVatzach, have a great night. Kol Tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.